The Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 18, My First Day in the Creative Group. When my mentor, Sirena, and I arrived at the creative group, I could not hide my delight. It was stunningly beautiful here. The house we were to live in was located on the top of a mountain. We were met by a bright, attractive, and active girl named Aliona, with the radiant, shining eyes. "Reinforcement has arrived," said our guide, and Aliona smiled benevolently. "Welcome to the House of Power, sisters. Come on, I'll show you to your room." Looking around curiously, we followed the girl along a path that led to a large building on a flat highland area. When we reached the house, Aliona stopped on the spacious terrace and pointed into the distance. Words could not convey the beauty that was revealed to us. It was even better here than in the mountains at the seminar I had just come from. On the right side of the house were snow-capped mountain peaks, majestic and silent as fairy tale giants. The peaks of the mountains rose into the sky and got lost in a thick layered fog. On the other side was the sea, a vast expanse that took my breath away. A beautiful sunset was floating over the sea. The sun's disk was already halfway below the horizon, creating a strange play of light. The sun rays shone through the clouds, tingled them with delicate orange and pink hues. The colors spilled over the surface of the water, covered with barely noticeable silver ripples. This was the most fantastic picture I had ever seen in my life. The three of us stood on the terrace, leaning on the railing and looking out into the distance. And at that moment, I felt an amazing spiritual affinity with these people. It would seem that I did not know them at all, but I was sure that we felt the same now. Calm and peace in the moment of unity with nature. We were lost in its enchanting beauty for a moment, becoming drops of salty seawater, a light breeze, serene flakes of clouds floating across the sky. I had the feeling that I was finally in my true family, a real home. From the first few seconds I was here, I felt like I was in paradise. I wanted to be here, where I belonged. At the same time, everything that had happened in the past now seemed alien, static, meaningless. "Shall we go?" Aliona said at last, and we followed her into the hall. It was spacious and very simple. There was no ornate decoration, no elegant furniture, only the bare essentials. At the same time, it was very clean and fresh. There was a sense of the abundance of light and free space. We climbed a wide staircase to the second floor. "This is where you will live," the girl said, leading us into one of the rooms along a lengthy corridor. The first thing that caught my eye here was the almost complete lack of furniture. I was used to this, since Alice and I lived in approximately the same conditions. We slept on the floor and did not rush to buy beds and cabinets to clutter up space and collect unnecessary trash around us. I assumed that there would be something similar in the creative group. But for Serena, it seemed this situation was a surprise. "Where are we going to sleep?" she asked. All the students and the teacher himself sleep on the floor according to the Eastern custom, explained Leona. "It's better for your health, and it also leaves more space for dancing, yoga, and other spiritual practices. In the next few days, you will be able to meet the teacher. But today, just make yourself comfortable and feel free to look around." "And the other students from the seminar?" I venture to ask. "The ones I went on the train with first? Are they here somewhere?" The girl shook her head. "They were sent to another group. And you, it seems, were lucky. You will have the opportunity to learn wisdom with the teacher himself." "When can we see him?" I could not resist the temptation to ask. But Leona smiled enigmatically. "Later," she said. "Now, just settle in, get acquainted with the rules, join in our life here." The news that I would soon see the teacher, communicate with him, and even learn from him, made my heart jump out of my heart. I looked forward to this meeting with trepidation, as you wait for your loved one, and I liked it. I kept thinking, what is the teacher like? Until now, I could only see his picture, and it was beautiful. Such a wise, majestic look, well-defined lips, a barely noticeable smile. It was impossible to look away from the photo. Once, after practicing at the retreat, someone even called me, because I was looking at a picture of the teacher. At that moment, I suddenly thought that he was very handsome and alluring, and I was confused by this thought. But now, when he was so close, there was no trace of embarrassment left, only a trembling anticipation of the meeting. The day passed quickly, and when it was time to sleep, we said a prayer together that helped us to tune in to lucid dreams, receiving energy and help from God. I could not sleep for a long time, thinking about the upcoming meeting and imagining how everything would be. I could not believe this was happening to me. I was at home. I was happy. Just happy. Everything here was so familiar to me, as if it had all happened before, a long time ago. I suddenly remembered that at the seminar, I had an incredible dream in which my mentor came to me. Then she said, "A special path of service awaits you." At that moment, I experienced a great calm and peace that I had never experienced before, and a desire was born in me to experience this feeling again and again. And here, in this beautiful place, which I had never even dreamed of visiting. I suddenly found what I was looking for all my life. With a smile, I fell asleep to the sound of the music of transformation. I didn't even notice a few tears rolling down my cheeks. The new morning started with a jog. Together with Serena and other members of the creative group, we went down the mountain track, enjoying the early morning when the first rays of the sun appeared in the sky and nature was just beginning to wake up. It turned out that here, too, as in the mountains at the seminar, there was a small river with icy cold water where we could swim and wash. The water was invigorating, energizing, as was the very atmosphere of the place. It was nature that fascinated me at the first and only field seminar in my life. I remembered every moment I had spent there, running in the rain with my eyes closed, swimming in the sea at night, the mystery of the sun and moon under the stars. How could they find such amazing places? The man who did this was just a god of beauty. Later, I learned that the teacher himself chose the places for seminars, and they were always places of power that surprised everyone who got there with their beauty. After returning home from the jogging, we washed ourselves and a yoga class began. It was conducted by a priestess named Isis, a young girl with bright makeup. There was something of the Egyptian goddess she was named after in her appearance. Majestic posture, shrewd gaze with a touch of mystery, a smooth, feminine movement that had intensity and a strong inner power. And now we will do a ritual, a complex of asanas called levels of consciousness, said Isis. This is a unique practice created by the teacher. It makes it possible to experience the level of consciousness of the universe at each stage of its development. You can go through all the stages of evolution, from plasma, the level of plants and animals, to man and God. You will be able to go through these states. Now, lie on your back and look at yourself with your inner vision. We all sat down on mats, and the music started playing. I recognized it. It was the music of transformation that had already been playing at the seminars. The first sounds plunged me into a special state that helped clear the mind and prepared for the upcoming practice. And now, smoothly rise and tune in to perform the asana ritual. And then this voice sounded. It was so majestic and deep, powerful, vibrating. The teacher's voice. Sit on your knees with your spine straight and your body relaxed. My spine connects heaven and earth. My breathing is even and calm, reflecting the rhythm of cosmic existence. I appeal to the divine power. I feel its blessing. I appeal to the teacher and feel his blessing. I appeal to the egregor of the school and feel its blessing. Let's sing the mantra Aum to connect with the higher powers. I am ready to serve the school and the world. I'm ready to conduct divine energy. I breathe in, breathe out, and bow. I bow before the greatness of the forces of the cosmos, before the Guru's mercy and the all-encompassing help of the egregor. In this lesson, I will serve them to gain strength and knowledge and bring it to people. Slowly, smoothly, freely breathe in and rise. Let's start the levels of consciousness ritual. By doing this ritual, we will experience the cosmic evolution of our consciousness. Let this knowledge be revealed to us. Let us praise God. I lie down on the floor and relax. My breathing is even and calm, and my consciousness is freed from identifications and forms. I disappear into the void. I disappear in the void. I am a small particle in the infinite space, the particle from which the universe should manifest. So, the teacher, even without being around, led us from one state to another, allowing us to get a unique experience. The teacher's voice impressed me, so deep and majestic, kind and attentive at the same time. I had never heard such a voice from any other person. Its sound made my body feel as if someone was embracing and protecting me. It was the teacher. Later, I experienced the magic of his voice many times. As soon as it sounded, all difficult situations were immediately resolved. A sense of protection and help came. What a man, I thought. I don't know him yet, but I already admire what he does. He brings people good and peace, and it is so perfect. I wish I could stay here forever. Is that possible? After yoga, we went to breakfast. The dining room was on the first floor and was a large horizontally stretched room with a high ceiling. In the center of the room, there was a long table with simple wooden stools around. And then it turned out that the classes and practices in the creative group continued even during meals. The mentors gave each of us a task. For example, they asked someone to eat with their eyes closed. Others were paired up and told to feed each other. "And you must eat with your left hand only," Isis said when it was my turn. "What is it for?" I asked, not fully understanding this task's meaning, and already imagining how inconvenient it would be. Of course, it was not as uncomfortable as eating with your eyes closed. But still, "we are used to doing things mechanically," she explained softly, "without noticing what we are doing. But when you eat, speak with your left hand, or in some unusual way, you start to do it more carefully. This way, it is easier to wake up, overcome the mechanics, and gain awareness." Satisfied with the answer, I nodded and said, "So, in this way, can we do spiritual practice out of every action?" "Right." The priestess smiled. If you do everything with full presence, very carefully and consciously, without talking to anyone or talking to yourself, this is the path to self-mastery and enlightenment. When everyone had received their tasks, Isis raised her hand to attract everyone's attention. "Now let's pray," she said, and folded her hands in a prayer. Isis spoke, and a harmonious chorus of voices softly repeated after her. "This all is Brahman. Brahman gives all, and Brahman takes all. Lord, bless our meal with your holy energy, so that grace is born from this food, and we direct the energy of food to self-development and good deeds, helping you and people." The prayer sets the mood. I had never thought before about why I ate. Somehow, it was clear, by default, what it was for. To live, to maintain physiological processes. But the attitude to food that was mentioned in the prayer also made it possible to take a step from the usual fuss to awareness. Food is given to us to transform raw energy into higher emotions instead of the usual negativity. This energy, in turn, can be used for development and good deeds instead of the usual hustle and bustle. It turns out that when we eat, we must keep this understanding. As in any other business, you need to be aware at every moment of time of why you are doing this and what for, and not just mindlessly imitate others, carrying out programs inspired by society. So when everyone started eating, I took the spoon in my left hand and dove it into the plate. Focusing on the process was not as easy as it might seem. I really wanted to start talking to one of the members, to discuss the past lesson, to ask about how long they had been here. But the need to eat with my left hand helped me remember the task. So, a simple breakfast turned into an effective practice. I focused my attention and watched myself, tracking my mind's reaction. Several times, I caught myself starting to talk to myself, engaging in inner dialogue. And now, when this happened again, one of the assistant mentors loudly said, "Stop!" This meant that we all had to freeze in the position we were at the moment. We could not change the expression of the face or even the direction of the gaze. The team found me in an unusual position with my mouth open and unchewed food. To others, it probably looked comical and unattractive, but it was very sobering and allowed us to wake up. In the future, this practice was carried out quite often during the day, forcing us to be more alert, maintain awareness and attention, here and now. After breakfast, Serena and I were given our responsibilities. As newcomers, we were assigned to clean and help in the kitchen. But later, we were promised other jobs. Here, everyone had their own responsibilities. Someone was organizing seminars. Someone was designing new school books. Others were collecting questions from lay students of the school on the internet to pass them to the teacher for answers, and then sending these answers to people. In contrast to the usual mundane work, which was often done carelessly, everything had to be done very quickly and well, 2 or 3 times faster than was habitual in society. At the same time, all actions and operations had to be accompanied by spiritual practice. Keeping maximum concentration of attention without being distracted by extraneous conversations and thoughts. Our mentors set us up for doing things with compassion and love, dedicating it to God and the teacher. At every moment of time, we had to remember that our work benefited people. Since not everyone had woken up yet, the older students watched the progress of the work and, from time to time, commanded, "Stop!" as it was at meals, so that everyone worked in an awakened state. If someone was lazy or fell asleep, they were encouraged and helped to wake up, tune in to the task, and perform it in the best possible way. This was how we helped each other to grow. I remembered my job at the video store when the day was long and tedious. I did not think then that work could be such a joy instead of a burden. No fatigue, but on the contrary, a significant surge of strength. "Is it like this every day?" I asked the sister next to me. She nodded and, shrugging her shoulders, replied, "Yes, it is. And how can it not be? In the house of the teacher, there is always fun, activity, and we do as much as an ordinary person does for a month, God willing." A little later, I was fully convinced of the truth of her words. In the middle of the day, Aliona, as always bright and cheerful, gave us tasks on Karma Yoga. Each student received their own territory, which had to be cleaned and put in order. Karma Yoga is yoga for the Sahasrara Chakra, the girl said with a mysterious smile, looking around at us. "When cleaning, remember yourself. Do everything consciously. Be in the here and now. Do not drift away in the imagination. Tune in to the fact that by cleaning this territory, you purify your soul and your life. Speed up, trying to do everything faster than you are used to. Through this, you perform an act of service of helping people." As I tried to concentrate on the task, I realized how little I could do, how much I still had to learn, how many skills to acquire. And I was grateful to God that I was in the best place on earth. The divine power itself took us all who were here, far away from the worldly fuss and place. We dove into paradise, where everything was imbued with the care and love of the great teacher, where everything vibrated with activity, joy, and happiness. The most exciting thing was that trying to complete tasks two or three times faster than usual, I did not experience the usual feeling of fatigue and apathy as it had been at work before coming here. By moving several times faster, I gained more strength and energy. This was a real phenomenon. I noticed that in this rhythm, there was no possibility for the wrong thoughts to appear. Regret, concern, worry, everything went on much more cheerfully, and thoughts came to mind brisk and active. This was how the teacher taught us even the most elementary things, organizing work and recreation so that it would bring real benefits to both the body and the spirit. All the activities and spiritual practices were divided competently. Everything was given its own time. Walking, performing tasks of power and tasks of the teacher, which revealed in us the qualities of diligence, patience, ingenuity, love, consciousness. They gave the opportunity to apply their talents and abilities to help people and the school. When we fulfilled our responsibilities, I was never tired of being amazed by the great power and wisdom of the teacher, the atmosphere that he created. Each task developed us and introduced us to something great and divine. Performing seemingly simple tasks, editing a video, typing, selecting music, designing a presentation, writing a message for the channel, cooking, cleaning the house. We did it as if an offering to our beloved teacher, as an act of gratitude and love. And at that moment, we felt joy, love, happiness. We developed patience and diligence. We tried to perform the task given as best as possible. At the same time, each of us tried to remember and observe ourselves in the current moment and to watch ourselves fall asleep and wake up. And so, every moment of life was like a great spiritual practice, like a prayer that changed your life and the lives of others. In the creative group, I first learned what a real spiritual family was. Here, everyone helped each other develop and become better. No one indulged in weakness, bad parenting, or negative emotions. When we gathered together during a break between spiritual tasks, everyone cheerfully shared with each other what they had observed in themselves, overacting and laughing. Often, this turned into a whole magic theater, where everyone could become an actor and a spectator at the same time. At every hour, we stopped for spiritual practices, danced, warmed up, and did Osho's dynamic meditations. Each break lasted about 15 or 20 minutes. This was done because sitting still for a long time is harmful, and any sedentary work had to be alternated with activity. During one of the breaks, a priestess swept into the room like an unusual butterfly and immediately drew us into a dance. Upbeat music began to play. My delight knew no bounds. I was amazed not only by the bright and bold outfit of the girl, but also by how easily and beautifully she moved. But after a few minutes, I was also surprised at myself, because I started dancing like her. I had never done this before. We finished the dance in a chorus of glee and delight. I had only seen something like this on TV in a program about Brazilian carnivals. After lunch, we went for a walk under the guidance of the priestess. I admired the way she moved easily and quickly, and still had time to answer any questions we had. I had never received such simple and wise answers from anyone. For example, during this walk, the priestess told us ancient knowledge about the planet's influence on our lives. I thought, if those who learn from the teacher are so wise and simple, what is the teacher himself like? My imagination was not enough to fathom it, and only my heart was pounding in anticipation of meeting him. At the end of the hour-long walk, I felt like I had spent a week on vacation. We breathed in the purest mountain air and admired nature's beauty, which I had not seen even in pictures. What was my surprise when I found out that such walks took place every day? And now we have a joy exam! One of the sisters said cheerfully as the next break between classes began. At this moment, the priestess entered the hall and began to keep a general wave of a very happy state. Everyone started to chatter and start having fun, laughing, jumping up, and radiating so much joy that I could not help but smile and join in the fun. It was so strange. After this short, emotional practice, I was in a great mood and felt a surge of energy. The smile never left my face. Later, I was told that such practices set a woman up for a state of luck, youth, and beauty. A woman in this state attracts all the benefits of this world. And vice versa. A discontented woman is shunned not only by men, but also by all luck and success. When the work was over and Serena and I went back to our room, Aliona came in. In her hands, she held a small box, the contents of which were not yet clear to us. Now, you need to dress up and put on some pretty makeup, she said solemnly. Why? Serena asked, surprised. To be bright and active, the girl explained. After all, clothes, makeup, hairstyle, all this affects the state of mind and mood. If you're dressed randomly, then your state will not be the best. It is necessary to cultivate more brightness and activity in yourself, and then your energy level will be at its best. This means that you can do much more. As a result, life will become more interesting and rich. Clothing and appearance magically affect both ourselves and those who see us. Therefore, try to put on makeup and dress as attractive as possible. Aliona put the box on a narrow stand against the wall and, after a short pause, added, You should always look beautiful and bright, but today is a special day because now you will be introduced to the teacher. These words were so unexpected. It is going to happen so soon? Aliona smiled, seeing my emotions, which were apparently clearly written on my face. Here's some makeup. You came without any personal belongings, didn't you? I nodded thankfully. Yes, thank you very much. Aliona left the room, and Serena and I, inspired by the upcoming meeting, began to put on makeup and dress up. My roommate had her own cosmetics, but I had to use what Aliona had brought. I opened the box and spread out the kit in front of me. In it, I found everything I needed to make a bright, attractive, and magical makeup. The selection was small, but enough. Nothing extra. A black pencil, lipstick, colored eyeshadows, different shades of eyeliner, and mascara. The small set of cosmetics did not bother me at all. I was used to using the opportunities that were given to me. And besides, Indra's task made itself felt. Doing a completely new makeup every day without repeating myself, that had been a really difficult task. Now I said to myself, Well, I used to make up for some strangers and create bright images. And when I need to be beautiful for the teacher and God, can't I do that? Having set my mind to it, I began to put on makeup, mentally dedicating my actions to God. Suddenly, I had the feeling that the sage was watching me. I flushed and looked around. There was no one there, but I could feel him clearly. It was as if he was saying, I'm here. And I really wanted him to look at me. I wanted him to like what I would create. I started to remember his image, and everything suddenly went very easy. My hands themselves began to move so skillfully and create beautiful, whimsical lines. When I thought of him, everything became easy. What do you think? I asked Serena as I finished applying my makeup. But be honest. The girl looked at me critically. And then looked at the makeup I was wearing. Wow, she said. You did it with this? There was a surprise in Serena's clear voice. Yes, I said, honestly, not understanding what there was to be surprised about. In fact, I didn't do anything special. Much later, I learned that this was a kind of test. Aliona specifically gave me such a limited set of tools to see my reaction and assess how well I would cope with the task. When she saw the result, it struck her in a good way, and she immediately told the teacher about it. I didn't know any of this at the time, of course, But only much later, when I was able to look at the situation from a different angle, it turned out that with all her experience, Aliona had never met a girl who could create beauty from almost nothing. She often had prepared new students for the meeting with the teacher, and Aliona was constantly faced with the fact that the girls did not know how to put on makeup at all. And if they did, it was in a way that made her feel afraid to look at them. Then she had to ask them to wash it off and start all over again. Finally, with makeup and dressed up, with Aliona's approval, Serena and I left the room and walked down the long corridor. From somewhere far away came the muffled sounds of enchanting music, and a wave of joyful expectation rose inside of me. The moment to which God had been leading me for all this time was approaching. We were led through a dark corridor into a bright room from which a beautiful girl sauntered out to meet us. I could only gasp. A green cloth was inexplicably fastened on her. It was wrapped around the body in a fancy top and bouffant skirt. It was all decorated with bright flowers and thin, glittering chains. The girl's eyes were decorated with colored patterns like a firebird's feather, and her fair hair rose to the ceiling, held up by her hands and the comb over that she continued to do as she walked. Nata, that was the name of this miracle. "Oh, nothing much. I'm just getting started," she said, pulling us into the room and closing the door. "Well, you've got to get ready too." "Well, if you have just started, what is the final version?" I was in a kind of happy shock, so to speak. I could not even imagine that something like this could be created from simple colored fabrics. It was a unique blend of style, a la Moulin Rouge, with the sophistication of a queen's outfit, dresses with luxurious feathers, unusual hats, and an unimaginable amount of jewelry. It was like a masquerade ball, and the feeling of celebration broke out in me like a dancing whirlwind. I was fascinated by everything, and I was ready to experiment. It was as if I was in my native element, where I could express creativity through the art of being a woman. Serena looked a little confused. Nata, noticing this, asked, "You were not warned that there would be a celebration in honor of the teacher? And you need to take something smart with you?" "Well, I took the only dress I thought was smart. Black, a floor-length dress. And I made the slits to the max before my mother saw it. And flesh-colored 40 den tights, proudly bought on the last salary." With a laugh and a little embarrassment, answered Serena, "For some reason, I thought I was pretty damn attractive in them." At this point, Serena laughed and gave in to the general atmosphere of celebration. "Don't you worry. Here in the box, you will find fabrics. You can choose the ones you like." Nat explained and, turning to me, pulled out a huge box that stood in the closet behind the curtain. We opened the box and started pulling out colorful fabrics. There were various lengths of cloth that differed from each other in color and texture. There, in the box, we found numerous chains, beads, pins, and brooches to fasten the fabrics on ourselves. And this opened up boundless scope for creative experiments. The fabrics could be wrapped around the hips and chest. We could combine colors and shades to create an original draping. It was amazing! That was when I realized what Indra had meant when he said that we needed to look different every day and we could not repeat ourselves. Then it had been difficult for me to come up with some really unique outfits. Here I did it with ease and pleasure because each such outfit was created in the here and now, and it was impossible to repeat it the next day. We actively began to make outfits, peeking with one eye at Nata, but, of course, trying to create something unique. My last hope of shining at this event vanished completely when another diva with brighter makeup and a stunning outfit burst into the room. She did not come in, but broke in. And, as I later discovered, everyone moved around this way. It was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. I couldn't pull myself away from her gorgeous makeup with colorful patterns and glitter. The skirt was draped with incredibly beautiful flowers, so beautiful that a wonderful garden of roses would look pale compared to it. And what a hairstyle she had! Huge white lilies, jingling chains, and glittering fancy hairpins were inserted into a very high, neat hairstyle. I kept trying to figure out how she had done it, but my mind couldn't explain the magic that seemed to permeate everything around. If you had gathered all the most beautiful women on earth in the best clothes, I think they would not have been able to outshine her in abundance of brightness and glamour. Before me stood Scheherazade, Diane de Poitiers, and Aphrodite at the same time. How great is the teacher if women flourish so near him. She was also wearing black stockings and high-heeled shoes. Then I realized that Nata was just getting started. The bright diva's name was Regina. She jumped up to me and began to look at me from all sides. She was clearly not impressed with my outfit, but she started to do my hair with a determination since there was not much time. However, time was always short in this place. Not enough for doubts, sentimentality, laziness, and idleness. Regina began to comb my hair, which took the shape of a ball, and, attaching a large red flower to this ball in the end, was satisfied with the work done. Throughout this time, interesting music was playing. Each song spoke about the teacher and God. When I started listening, I felt that the music breathed positivity and wisdom. Later, I learned that when a student came to the teacher, he revealed all her talents, and many began to sing divine chants. And I, too, soon began to sing without expecting it. The music that was playing before my first meeting with the teacher, I remembered forever. These are my favorite songs. This is one of the albums they gave me for helping out at the seminar. Serena suddenly exclaimed joyfully, I used to play it every morning and dance. Imagining that I was back in the mountains, it was the only thing that saved me from the routine of life. And now I'm in the thick of it. Cool! And now, a contest for the best outfit and makeup, Regina shouted. All the members of the creative group cheerfully and quickly formed a circle, drawing Serena and me into it. So, on the count of three, point out the one with the best outfit. 1, 2, 3! Almost everyone voted for a girl with a very high, gorgeous hairstyle and an elegant outfit in red and black shades with gold. And now, the most beautiful makeup! 1, 2, 3! And then I gasped. There were so many votes for me! Regina herself voted for me! I felt a massive surge of energy, strength, the state of a queen. The first girl and I were congratulated with a loud applause. I thought that perhaps everything that one dedicated to God would turn out well, with God's help, just like it happened with the makeup. During this transformation, guests came to our room. They flew in with big rustling packages, cheerful, loud-voiced with jokes. They all reminded me of someone. When they dumped the bag's contents on the floor, they began to dress in the same bright outfits, put on a lot of jewelry, and created unimaginable hairstyles. Oh, God! I recognized them. These were the mentors I had recently parted from when we left the place of power after leaving the seminar. I did not expect this meeting. It was evident that something really extraordinary was going to happen. At this moment, I realized that I had left the seminar only recently, but so much had already happened to me in this short period of time. How many wonderful spiritual impressions I received. It seemed that a whole year had passed in one day of being in the creative group, full of events, bright, interesting. Everything was imbued with a love for the teacher, service to God, helping people, pure laughter, and a sense of true happiness. The most interesting thing was that when I previously saw the mentors in chitons in a very majestic, wise, calm state, I did not even imagine that they could be so feminine and charming. It was not just that they started dressing up. It was their state. After all, I used to watch them communicate with people with love and reverence, and I kept thinking, well, how do they have enough for everyone? Why do they have so much love? And now I began to feel the source. They were all united by the teacher's love, both powerful and gentle at the same time. One by one, the mentors quickly began to dress up in fancy clothes. And as I looked at them, I suddenly remembered the picture of Gopi Krishna that we were shown at the seminar. They were laughing so merrily and trying to look even prettier. Next to them, through their eyes and movements, the teacher's love was felt. Wow! How could I get closer to the teacher so that his love pours through me as it does through the mentors? Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.